Paratooth Radio is a proud member of Evergreen Podcasts on killerpodcasts.com.
Christian and non-Christian paranormal investigators. They have two different views, and it seems as if neither of them can ever agree on anything. So what happens when a mainstream view of the paranormal crosses paths with the Christian view? Something.
What's up, everybody? My name is Eric.
And I'm Justin.
And joining us today is Nelly and Rebecca. And together, they are Ronessa Avila, the creative power of two authors, that is. And they strive to make people aware of a culture rich with traditions that date back thousands of years. Today, we are discussing their book, A Study of Household Spirits of Eastern Europe. Rebecca, Nelly, welcome to Paratruth Radio. We're so thankful to have you on.
Nice to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for invite.
So we're actually having you guys on to talk about your book, A Study of Household Spirits of Eastern Europe. The first question that I just have is, what guided you to decide on writing this book?
Well, Rebecca, do you want me to start first?
Yep, you can go first.
Okay. And I know you have two people on the call. We are using pen name. It's Ronessa Avila. So I call this relationship power of two. So I was raised in Eastern Europe, in Bulgaria. And I spent a lot of time with my grandmother in the villages and hearing all these different stories. And 10 years ago, me and Rebecca connected and we decided that we wanted to, you know, materialize my ideas and write a book. And we started with a book called Mystica Emona. After Mystica Emona, we created another book, Dragon Village or Zmejkovo. And during the research of the, for the book, all the materials, Rebecca was very interested in all those different creatures and spirits. And this is how the idea of this nonfiction book was born. So that's the story in short. Rebecca, do you want to add to it?
Yeah, just going to say, in the Dragon Village series, we had, there's a book called Lamia's Bible, which is has all the secrets of everybody in Dragon Village. And I was trying to get information on that. And one of the characters who was going to be in a book, Dragon Village, was called Kikimora. So I started with her and then found other household spirits and, you know, just kind of escalated and, you know, to put into a, all of the information into a book.
Yeah. And I'm sure you heard of Kikimora. It's a main character in The Witcher, the show. Yeah.
Very familiar.
Okay. Well, ours is a little bit friendlier.
Okay.
The chicken goddess, I call her.
Well, reading through this book, I loved reading through this book because you have illustrations, you have the did you know stuff there, which I thought was brilliant. But I loved that I actually knew some of these spirits because I used to play a really old computer game way back when it was just point and click computer games. And one of the characters in the series was the Domovoy. And they portrayed this Domovoy. So reading through and reading about the actual spirit itself, it was like, oh, this is awesome because I already kind of know the background of the Domovoy, and now reading more of the history, it was pretty cool. So this looks like it's supposed to be a series. What made you start with these particular spirits in the series?
like I said, the part of it was because I was researching Kikimora for the Dragon Village book.
Okay.
And then there were just other household spirits who came up in my searches. I mean, I don't know, I have an awful lot of background in the Eastern European spirits and creatures. So I needed to do a lot of research so I could help when we wrote the book, the Dragon Village book. I would have more ideas about how to enhance Kikimora's character. And so that was just why we started with the household spirits.
Okay.
So I noticed, like, when I'm reading through this and I'm seeing, obviously there's a lot of information here, but you go so far as to discuss why a spirit may enter into a house. In this case with the Kikimora is like the uncleanliness, but then you also discuss how to get rid of these spirits. Is this information that you just simply found and related back into your book, or is there some sort of eyewitnesses that you interviewed or you found online that you're able to confirm with?
No, it was all research. It wasn't, I mean, some of the information probably came from forums where people were talking about it. You know, their accounts of things. But I tried to at least reference if it did come from that. A lot of it's mostly from academic sources. But like, we also wanted to include more, you know, the average person's experience with, you know, the spirits and things like that.
Right.
Did you have a favorite spirit that you had researched that kind of connected with you more than others?
Oh, I love Kikimora. I don't know about Nelly.
Well, she's my favorite. My grandmother used to say, if you don't, you know, wash your dishes, she'll come tonight and you'll be punished. So I was like, okay, my gosh, there's some noise in the attic. So maybe she's coming for me. So, you know, everything for me, I know I have the background. Rebecca doesn't have this Eastern European background. So this is something from my childhood. So some of the memories are still alive in my head.
Okay.
But I think she did a great job, and we did a great job researching this, you know, different creatures from Slavic mythology, because I think that's a terra incognita, a lot of information about it. It's like very, you know, it's amazing, actually. Very interesting topic.
For sure. We've always been interested in these type of topics. And so getting a chance to like read into some of these other stories from around the world is always really enlightening for us, especially like we delve really deep into obviously the American folklore and mythologies. And we're not as in tune or understanding as some of the other ones. So it's kind of cool to see some of this stuff. One thing that I have noticed, like with some of our other guests who have done research on various types of spirits, is as they're doing the research, they start to see some sort of crossover in which many of these spirits kind of relate to one another in some way, or maybe they act the same in one way or another. Did you happen to find any of that in your research where it's like, oh, maybe this spirit is just a mistaken identity of this spirit, or, you know, something like that?
Well, the Domovoi and Dvorovoi are pretty similar. I mean, and in a lot of cases, people did consider them the same.
Okay.
But one was more specific to the house, and the other was more outdoors and to the farm and the animals. And so, like I said, those were two that were pretty similar. They all can be pretty violent, though. I mean, that was one thing that came across, that even though they're the mildest of the spirits so far.
Okay.
Well, I think so, what actually connects those beliefs from other cultures is, you know, people are trying to understand what's going on in the world, and they're trying to protect their home, make sure that they get, you know, enough food, fertility and prosperity. And I think you can find this in each of this, you know, spirits, not just from Slavic folklore, but from other cultures. I love mythology. So, you know, I'm sort of like comparing this. And one of the goals that we have is to not promote Slavic mythology, but just promote diversity, right? Mm-hmm. So when you understand other cultures, you appreciate other, you know, people, their point of view, and you open your mind. So I think that's important, at least for me, probably because, you know, I moved from Europe to a new country and I adopted the culture and I learned a lot and I appreciate everything.
Mm-hmm. So moving from Europe to here, was it kind of a shock in the difference between the way that cultures address their folklore, or is it kind of similar, you know, across the board?
Well, there's a what is interesting, or I say beautiful about, you know, United States is that you have many people with different, you know, heritage, and mm-hmm. you explore that different views and culture, right? Cultural beliefs. It was a shock. Yes, it's a new, you know, everything is new, but, right. You know, I think, again, I enjoy exploring, right? Learning and adopting.
Okay.
And so as you're writing this book, like, I know you had said that you had first kind of started doing the research on the Dragon Book and you came across some of these spirits, started doing more research. Were you kind of doing both books at the same time, or were you really focusing on one first and completing it and then moving on to the next? How did that work out for you?
Well, we both kind of work on the same different books at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like while I was researching and writing the spirits books, Nellie's been working on the Dragon Village series and a lot of the more of the fiction. She does like the first draft of the fiction work, and I tend to do the first draft of the nonfiction work, and then we compare notes and back and forth between each other.
Okay.
You guys had brought up that a lot of these spirits are aggressive. What's some of the protection you can do against having these spirits in your home?
Well, you know, wormwood is good for a lot of spirits. I can't remember if it off the hand if it's for these or not. They do a lot of charms and things like that. The evil eye beads. Nellie can probably address more particulars.
Yeah, I remember, and you know, through also researching, but like amulets, so the using colors like white and red and blue, as well using salt. You can put salt around, you know, corners of your windows or your house. Well, there's a lot of rituals, and I think every family has their own rituals. I'm not sure, you know, if they've been passed to the younger generation, but I remember like my grandmother, she used to do like a ritual bread for the stupan of the house. She, you know, putting like a red treat under the threshold of, you know, when you're entering the house. And she's like, when I was like seeing a snake, which I don't like them, they're scaring me to death, but she's like, well, don't touch it. You know, this is probably stupan, the, you know, the spirit that is guarding our house. So different amulets, different rituals. I'm not sure, Rebecca, do you have any others that you know, for you, like from coming from different point of view that are interesting?
No, I'm all set.
One thing I do want to know is, like, you know, when we work with I want to call them customers, clients. When we work with clients who have a curiosity about what's happening in their house, you know, they're witnessing some sort of haunting or something like that. We sometimes go so far as to try to figure out what it is that's haunting this the house. What are some keys to look for when trying to discern whether there's a kikimora that's haunting the home or is in the presence of the home?
Well, I think noises. Mm-hmm. Noises in the attic, and if you wake up and you have, you know, there's a problem, everything is upside in your kitchen. And we used to also make a joke that she likes to brew beer. So if you smell beer, then that's a sign of kikimora. I think noises, right? Mm-hmm. Noises, and again, salt is a great protection to use. Okay. I know garlic is huge in a lot of cultures. The same with like in Eastern Europe, Bulgaria, garlic is powerful herb for everything. We just did our latest book about magical herbs, and we have, you know, a lot of information on garlic and how you can use it against vampires. And and this is another interesting topic Rebecca, you know, would like us to explore in the future. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I also, with kikimora, the wet footprints, if she happens to be a swamp kikimora, would indicate that she had been in the house.
Okay.
So the Spirits and Creatures series is obviously going to be a series. What are you guys planning on for book two?
Book two is about Lusalki. They call them mermaids, but they're really more like water spirits. They're like dead girls who, you know, who have drowned. Mm-hmm. And then book three was we did dragons, and currently working on book four, which is about Baba Yaga.
But that's a big one.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of research on her.
Well,
Nellie's found some really great.
Go ahead.
I was going to say Nellie's found some really great articles in Russian and Bulgarian that you don't usually have access to, you know, for in English. So there's a lot of good information for those.
Okay.
Well, that's really cool. So in the process, you're writing this book on Baba Yaga, like, what is the first steps along with the research, and how long does it typically take you to complete the book? Like, what is your timeline and your outline for that matter?
From collecting the information to actually publishing, it usually takes about, we count on about a year to do it. I've been actually gathering some of the information along while I'm looking for other things. If I find what I want, you know, I find something in her in other articles, I'll save that information into my file. So I actually had a lot of it ahead of time this time.
Mm-hmm. And so we also, utilizing translations and collaborating with illustrators to do the, you know, images for us. And so it's, about a year.
One of my favorite topics is dragons, so I'm excited that you guys are going to be coming out with a dragons book. Are dragons pretty predominant in Bulgarian folklore?
Yes, we have two, female and male. And the male is a little different from, you know, other culture, because he can turn into a human. And he likes, he had a great appetite for, you know, beautiful girls, and he likes wine. So it's a very three-dimensional character in the folklore. So we have, the book actually was already published, and we have an additional book, Dragon Tales, and we have a lot of different tales and legends from Eastern Europe and Bulgarian folklore on dragons. Yeah. And then the female, he is always in, fighting his sister, the Lamia, which is, the female dragon in the folklore, very vicious dragon. So be careful if you meet her somewhere. Because I'm not able to give you some, I'm not able to give you tips how to protect yourself. But I think people, every time there's a storm, they say like, okay, the Lamia is coming. And this is in other cultures like Serbia and others, they're calling this Hala.
Okay.
Okay.
Hala, yeah. Type of dragon, yeah.
Now, we've talked about dragons in the past, actually, and we've talked to a couple of people, too. There's been, as of late, some mixed reviews as to what exactly the dragon was or is. There's some claim that it was an ancient creature that was physical, flesh and bone. Others say that it's a spiritual entity, very similar to, say, fairies, pixies. What do you guys think about that? Like, where do you stand?
Well, in some of the research... I know in Bulgaria, they say that they were, they had gone underground during the apocalypse, then during some apocalypse, and they, their skin grew pale and peeled off like snakes. And so they actually believe that they have ancestors who live in the world now. And other theories say that they came from outer space, some of them.
Okay.
Interesting.
I actually didn't hear about that theory, the outer space one. That's a new one.
Yeah. I do know, like, in Chinese folklore, a lot of their kings believe that they're descended from the dragons, because in their culture, dragons are gods as well. Is that kind of similar for Bulgaria or the other cultures that you're talking about, Rebecca?
No, they weren't so much from royalty. It was just ordinary people. I mean, there was even there's even a person. Do you remember who his name, Nelly?
I have to look up at that. Yeah, he does a lot of research, and because he believes that his family is from dragon, they're dragons. And he's from area in Bulgaria that it's very secluded. There's a lot of legends there, and there are people called Nestinari. So they dance over fire, live coals, fire dancers. And again, I think we can share an article with you after the call and his name. Yeah.
So where do you guys, where do you guys go from here now? Like, let's say you've got your next book first, when do you think your next book is going to be completed? And then do you have an outline for what the following books are, or you just kind of focus on the one and then whatever happens next, you just allow the spirit to guide you, or your own questions to guide you, curiosity?
Can I address this? And then sorry. I'm the one that has always have ideas, and Rebecca is very good in putting down the strategy, right? So we currently working on Baba Yaga book, and then I know she would like to, we like to do another one for vampires, and then for healers and witches. That's a huge topic as well, and we touch a little bit on it in the Herbs book that we just publish. It's not just about herbs, but it's like a magical herbs, and was inspired by a ritual called Midsummer Anyuvden, and again it's protection against dragons. So it's a huge ritual. It's called Kupala in other Eastern Europe countries. So I think at least this is what we have in our list for now. But Rebecca, do you want to add to it?
Yeah, and also, I mean, I was going to do one on fairies. There's the Vila and the Samudiva, and those, and the this book should be done, I would say, at least by mid time of next year, since I'm basically just kind of getting into it right now. I'm compiling all my notes, so I don't expect to have it done this year, but hopefully next year. Okay. And this other, I mean, I have a whole bunch of other information that I've put aside that if I can get enough information on, I want to, you know, do more books like Giants and things like that.
Yeah, and we need to complete the Dragon Village's makeover series. We have three books out. The series is five books, and we have them in English. Some of them are in Portuguese, and some of them are in Italian. So it's interesting.
That's awesome. All right, Rebecca and Nelly, it is about that time where we usually let our guests go. So I want to give you guys a chance where they can, where our listeners can find the books, where they can find you guys. The mic is all yours.
Okay. If you just go to vanessaavila.com. So RONESAAVEELA. And all our books are in all the different places we are. You can find us around the.
Yeah, the books are all major bookstores, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, our website. We also planning to do a Kickstarter. We have not one successful, and we, you know, continue to work. But again, if you search for Vanessa Avila, I know the name is probably hard to spell, but we have very wealth of articles, and we have information about our books and how people can get them in different format. We have them in ebooks, and also they're in libraries too. Yeah. So.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you for being on Paratruth Radio.
And thank you for inviting us.
Thank you for inviting us. Thank you.
Of course. Of course.
All right, folks. That was the two that make up Vanessa Avila, Rebecca and Nelly. Check out the book, A Study of Household Spirits of Eastern Europe. It was, like I said, I thought it was a very well done book, just reading through the legends, and they have the Did You Know in there. They've got illustrations mm-hmm. in there. It was pretty cool. We're going to take a quick break. You're going to hear Eric's Random Fact of the Day, a quick commercial, and we will be right back with Paratruth Radio.
Now, Eric's Random Fact of the Day.
Did you know that a dime has 118 ridges on its edge? According to Facts.net, the ridges of a coin determine whether it is real or fake. This was implemented on all coins before the 18th century. The ridges also make it harder to make counterfeit coins.
This was Eric's Random Fact of the Day.
History is complicated. The story of human progress is long, messy, and riddled with controversies big and small. On Conflicted, we dive headfirst into history's most infamous events and contentious figures. We try and untangle the good from the bad, the fact from the fiction, and the monsters from the misunderstood. Was Genghis Khan a murderous butcher or a civic pioneer? Did the Allied powers go too far in firebombing the German city of Dresden at the twilight of World War II? And how did the Marquis de Sade acquire such a sinister reputation? And was any of it true? These are just a few of the tough questions we wrestle with and investigate on Conflicted. So if you love history or just enjoy a good story, please join me, your host, Zach Cornwell, for a fascinating new topic each and every month. Conflicted, a history podcast, is available on Spotify, Apple, or wherever else you get your podcasts. I hope to see you soon.
Welcome back to Paratrooth Radio. As always, my name is Eric.
And I'm Justin.
And we just got off the line with Nelly and Rebecca. They are the twin force known as Renessa Avila. That is their pen name and by which you'll find their books. This particular book was highly interesting for us because, you know, as we said during the show here, we tend to focus a lot on American folklore. So getting a better understanding of some of the European spirits and those from around the world was definitely an interesting topic for, at least for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, like I said, I had heard of like the Domovoy. It goes back to a computer game that I used to play called Quest for Glory. And they, in each of the games in the series, they would pick a culture to pull the creatures from. And in, I believe it was number 4, they went with a lot of Bulgarian folklore, and it had the Rizalki in it, like Rebecca had mentioned, and Baba Yaga. Baba Yaga actually appeared in the 1st and 4th game in the series. And then the Domovoy showed up in number 4, which I thought was cool to read through the book and find something that I've actually heard of before, but have never really researched outside of the game.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, you and I have talked about different cultures' folklore, but we've never been able to talk to somebody who is from that area or has done intensive research compared to what we can find.
Right.
So, I, you know, reading through it, was there anything that caught your eye for any of the spirits, like that you can relate to hearing certain things in your house or anything where you read this and then you're like, maybe that was a Domovoy or whatever?
Well, I mean, I'll tell you that one that is particularly interesting is the fact that the Kikimora likes to make beer. So, you know, now mind you, there's probably quite a bit of beer open around my house. So that could just be me. But aside from that,
you forgot that you opened it and it's just sitting there.
It's just sitting there. Yeah. You know, it's weird though, because I think a lot of these that are in this book are actually very similar to some of the spirits that we have here in the US. They go by different names here. You know, the idea that the Kikimora is into mischief, right? She likes to make noise, knock on walls and doors and things like that. I mean, that's very similar to the poltergeist here, right? I mean, that's something that we've talked about numerous times. And again, we've also talked about how many spirits like the uncleanliness of a house. A dirty house kind of helps make it feel more at home for a spirit. Whereas if you clean it up and make it tidy, it's kind of a symbolic representation of cleaning the spirit out of your house as well. Same thing, you know, actually that's something that's been mentioned in scriptures too, which I've talked about, is the idea of a spirit haunting a house or being in a house. And basically you got to kick it out, clean it all up, and the spirit goes roaming around until it comes back and finds everything put in order, and it takes residence again with 7 more, in this case, demons, much stronger than itself. And that's something we see time and time again, like how many times a haunting is cleansed or a spirit is cast out only to have it pick up again several months down the line. And that's because many people who go into these hauntings or who are coming out of them, they do the cleansing and that's it. Nothing else has changed. And in order to make a true change, you have to change yourself, whatever it is. You know, it's like saying, hey, I'm into dark witchcraft, just for an example. And maybe you don't know fully what you're doing. Maybe you're a newbie. Okay. Nothing wrong with that. But you test some things and they go a little awry, and you end up with some sort of entity in the house that's not a good entity. cast it out and you don't change what you're doing. You just keep doing it and doing it. And what's it going to do? It's going to draw it back. So there has to be some sort, even if you continue, you need to learn to change the mindset when you're doing stuff, whether it's practicing with a Ouija board or, you know, tarot cards, whatever it is. There's always got to be a subtle change that's going to help keep these spirits at bay. And that's a lot of like just putting up those walls, putting up the shields.
Protection. Yeah.
You know, yeah. That's something that everyone talks about. Whether they're ghost hunting or practicing some sort of craft, you always begin with that protection.
Right. Well, and that's why I kind of wanted them to go over some of the stuff that you can use to protect yourself, which actually they basically went over stuff we've already heard anyways, salt, garlic, stuff like that. And Rebecca had mentioned wormwood, which is kind of a new one for me. I've never heard wormwood as protection before. But none of them mentioned like sage or anything like that. Mm-hmm. They'd mentioned herbs and stuff, but not specifically sage.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, and again, there could be a number of reasons. Could have been that they just left it out. Also, it could be cultural. Yes, some cultures use sage, others use other means. You know, it's just like any practitioner of whatever, whether you're a Christian or Protestant or a witch or a psychic, they're all going to have different means of casting spirits and cleansing. So this is not to say that there's one particular method that isn't right, because statistically they've all been effective, at least in my understanding and my research. So it's more so regarding the power of one's mind and understanding or believing that what they're doing is truly going to be cleansing the house.
Right. It's all about your intention. But if your intention is to keep the spirit there, you just want it to stop doing what it's doing. What you're doing to protect yourself isn't going to make any difference, like you said.
Yeah. Well, you know what? And that, I mean, let me get that. Wait. So what you're, let me, hold on. I might have just misheard you there. But did you say they're trying to stop the spirit from doing what it's doing, but not trying to get rid of it?
Right.
Okay. That's insane. Like, I don't know why. Like, that sounded so weird to me. Like, what?
I mean, it, in a sense, it kind of doesn't make sense because of the way I'm putting it. But basically, you know, it's trying to scare you. It's trying to, or it's causing a ruckus or whatever. You don't want it to go away as far as the spirit itself, because you're like, well, maybe it's not anything bad. It just needs to stop disturbing me. So if you don't have that intention of cleansing the spirit away instead of just trying to get it to stop, then really, if that spirit, say for example, we'll say an elemental mm-hmm. is a specific spirit that's supposed to do a specific thing, and that's all it does. So if you're trying to just stop it for what it's doing, you better be cleansing the house of it, not just trying to get it to stop.
Right. Yeah, no, completely agree. And I think, you know, there are instances, I suppose, where, and I've seen it on TV too, where people want to just figure out what's happening. Maybe they don't necessarily want the spirit to leave, depending on what it is. A prime example is someone who moves into a house and they have a haunting, and this haunting they learn is someone who once lived there. Perhaps it was the old man who passed away however long prior. In that case, that ghost still sees it as their home. And so sometimes the owner doesn't necessarily want to kick them out, because then they're like kicking them out on the street. If they don't, you know, if the spirit won't go off somewhere else, like cross over, then they're pretty much out on the street. And so, yeah, some people want to help or try to get an aggressive spirit to kind of calm down and try to coexist with it. And sometimes the best way to do that is, of course, to just simply ignore it which could work, but could also kind of drive up the issue if it wants to be known. The other, of course, is to sit down and have a conversation with the spirit. Now, of course, that's something you want to do carefully because you don't know exactly what type of spirit it is from the very beginning, unless you have maybe some sort of psychic there to kind of help clarify that this is a human spirit. A conversation goes a long way in trying to meet on a single page where you can coexist together without too much trouble.
For sure. All right. Anything else on household spirits before we wrap it up?
No, sir.
All right. Well, folks, that is all we've got on A Study of Household Spirits of Eastern Europe. Make sure you're checking out the book by Renessa Avila, which is Rebecca and Nelly combined. We got a lot of great stuff up coming up for you guys. Next couple weeks are going to be down the rabbit hole, or unless we come up with a single specific topic. And then we're actually going to be having a guest on to talk about runes, which I don't think we've ever kind of really delved into. And I guess a question I'll have for him is the difference between runes and sigils, because it almost feels similar. So I would love to hear his take on that. But that is pretty much it. And in a couple weeks, Eric will be in North Dakota, so we'll be doing some investigations, and hopefully we'll have some creative work for him to do while he's here too, for some companies. And yeah, it's gonna be a fun time. So until next week, folks, where you'll find us same time, same channel, my name is Justin,
and I'm Eric.
Peace.
This is
Coming up on 5 Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not, it's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5 Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.